This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comic books.
That is the right word.
Yeah.
That is definitely...
We didn't have to take this five times.
No, no outtakes because Alex forgot everything. Honestly, I hate to tell you, gentle listeners, but Pete almost had to take over.
Oh,
and can you imagine?
And Pete got bit by a rabid dog earlier this week, and he is rabid himself.
Exactly.
So that's saying something.
Exactly. We're on the very edge of destruction over here.
The dog wasn't a rabbit.
Oh, great. But you said dog wasn't rabbit?
Dog wasn't rabbit.
Oh, you were just saying that. You were just telling a story how the dog ate its own shit and then bit you or something like that before he got on the podcast.
I was saying the urgent care lady was freaking me out of like the possibilities of the bacteria that can be in a dog's mouth.
I love how much research. You're like the Batman of dog bites. Like that bite was like your parents being killed in front of you.
Oh,
and now you've become a dog bite man.
Speaking of that, the comic that we're talking about, the Batman comic.
Oh, hold on, we'll get there. Hold on, I see what you're doing to get this back on track. We're going to talk about a couple of books that came out today, Wednesday. Let's kick it off with a Marvel comic book, The Magnificent Ms. Marvel, number one.
What a timely release.
Sure is, except, of course, it's a different character than Captain Marvel. This is a reboot of the Ms. Marvel title. Not a reboot, just a continuation with a new title, but this time by Saladin Ahmed. Mm-hmm. Instead of G. Willow Wilson, who has been writing the character for years and since her inception at this point. So what did you think? This is the second book that Saladin has taken on in the past couple of months, along with Miles Morales' Spider-Man. And these are characters that are very identified with the creators. We really liked what he did with Miles Morales. How do you think he did with Kamala Khan?
It's good. It's you know, it really felt like a continuation, especially for a number one issue. And we talked a little bit when we reviewed the last issue of the previous series about how it didn't really feel like a last issue. And it sort of made sense that this didn't really have to feel like a first issue either. It just felt like a continuation of the character. We learned a little bit about Kamala Khan and how she, her life, her powers. And then we have this sort of overarching thing of like the futuristic society in a different world and how she's the great hero.
Yeah.
I really like... it kind of reminds me of Spider-Man in a way because you're balancing relationships and real life with also fighting, you know, villains and living that superhero life, which I really like this balance. And I think the heart of this character and her power that she can wield, but yet the small things are also important to her, make her very powerful. And I very much enjoyed this comic. I think she's a great character. And it's nice to see that this character is in good hands. It doesn't, to me, feel like it's missed a beat from, the original person who was writing it. It still feels like the same character, which I think is super important. Yeah, I enjoyed this comic.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is good for constant readers of the title. It's also good for new readers because, as he did over on Miles Morales, he gives a brief recap of her origins, sets up her friends, sets up her families really well. The one part, this is nothing about the writing of the book, that I thought was very funny was one of Kamala's friends asks, "Hey, you never actually told me your origin story." And she's like, "Oh yeah, here we go." And you're in my head, I was like, "Ah, right. What was her origin story again?" And she recaps and she's like, "Well, I get hit by a clown."
Yeah.
The end. And it's funny for a character that is so good and been built out so well that her origin really is just like, "Well, I got hit by a cloud," and that's pretty much it.
And especially it's tied to such a very specific bit of Marvel continuity that is sort of forgotten now, or at least not used much of the Terrigen Mist going around. So she's an Inhuman, which is sort of a thing that's like, oh, weird. You forget that.
Right. But the rest of it is great. And they recap the rest of her origin story where she saved her friend. There's some big moves here going on with her parents. So if you've been putting off picking up a Ms. Marvel title for whatever reason, this is a great time to jump on board.
Also, it's a great lesson in here. She talks about she went to a party she wasn't even supposed to go to. Go to parties, guys. You know, even if you're not supposed to go to them, you should go.
Huh. Go to all parties. Yeah. Party all night. Party every
whether
day.
Whether you're invited or not, just show up at a party.
Just go, because you don't know if it's going to be that party where you're leaving and then you accidentally get superpowers.
Wedding receptions, birthday parties, funerals.
Yeah. Just pop in. Pete, you recorded that album, right? About my girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party, party all the time.
Yeah, it almost seems like you recorded it the way you sung it so well.
Ooh, we got a real sing-off.
All right, here we go. A one, two, a one, two, three. Coming up next, DC Comics, The Batman Who Laughs, The Grim Knight, number one. Now, there is a spinoff of a spinoff, which is The Batman Who Laughs title. We've been loving that book.
Loving it.
By Scott Snyder and Jock. It's been this intense ride focusing on the dark Batman from an alternate universe who has been infected with Joker. It is body. He is, we don't know his whole plan, but he's doing
He was bitten by a rabid Joker.
Pretty much. And, a Joker was eating his own shit and that bit
him. Yeah, got a big mouth of Joker shit.
Can I just give a little setup before you offer your point, Pete? Pete is raising his hand, which, again, very polite, as usual.
Those of you, the gentle listeners at home, Pete is probably 90% of the time raising his hand on this podcast. Like, if you're ever wondering whose hand's in the air, if you can hear a hand up, it's Pete's.
Yeah. So the Batman Who Laughs has been invading Gotham and slowly taking down Batman bit by bit. Along with him is this character, the Grim Knight, and the Grim Knight is another alternate universe Batman. His origin, which is recapped here, is he picked up the gun that the robber dropped in the alley the night.
Joe Chill.
And then shot Joe Chill to death.
Yeah.
And from there, he was like, guns are cool. More guns, please.
Yeah. Don't forget he shot the bat that came through the window, too.
Right. Well, that's something you find out in this issue. And this issue is split between the Grim Knight's origin and him torturing Detective Gordon. And we finally find out why by the end of the issue. Pete, you raised your hand. I couldn't help but notice.
Yep.
What's going on?
Why the fuck do we keep seeing this? It just makes me so mad that we got to keep seeing the alley scene over and over and over and over and over. Yeah.
Because otherwise, this guy's very grim.
Yeah, I get it. But, like, you know, it's just reliving this goddamn alley nightmare over and over.
To be fair,
real quick, Pete, name the most iconic moments in Batman's life that aren't the alley and aren't the bat coming through his window that everybody knows, even people walking along on the street. The moments that form Batman. So they're forgetting about the alley, forgetting about the bat coming through his window. What else is there? Just throw out that other moment that they're going to return to again and again.
I think the time that Batman first puts on his cowl and cape, you know, that's important. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, he had to get dressed.
Yeah, he had to get dressed for that first time.
Something people assume.
Yeah. Right. Also, Alfred being his butler.
That's not a moment. That's
an ongoing relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fact that Detective Gordon, you know, he's a little kid, helped him out. And
I'm going to say...
That's the serious Gotham you're thinking
of. I'm going to say you're both right. We've seen this scene too much, but it's also very important especially when you're establishing a new character who the Grim Knight is. And I will say, I don't think we need to see it much more in regular continuity. We're good on that. But this, it sort of had a new take on it where the dude, Joe Chill, trips and falls on the pearls, which I thought was gallows
humor. I've seen it so many times.
You haven't seen Joe Chill trip on the pearls?
Yeah, but I've seen it just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do a different twist on the thing that you know.
What is crazy to me is you got an entire comic book where Batman is the Punisher and you're focusing on one aspect of it, which is not the aspect where he murders everybody.
Like, honestly, this Batman's down on his knee proposing to you, like me, please like me. And you're like, that ring looks like it was just pulled off a murdered set of parents or something.
Yeah, I don't want to see Punisher Batman. I have the Punisher. You know what I mean? Like, I like Batman being Batman. I think it makes sense. And I
looks like somebody put chocolate in Pete's peanut butter.
Now, just to review it, though, for those who don't regularly read Marvel Comics, the Punisher's origin is that his family gets murdered and then a skull crashes through his window and he takes it as a symbol of vengeance, right?
Well, that's not true.
I think that's what it is.
That checks out for as far as I know.
Yeah, I like this book. It's weird to me to have a spinoff of a spinoff, but that's okay. It was well written. It's fun.
And we still don't know exactly what's going to happen with the Batman Who Laughs and how, if that's going to be like straight up the same Batman that is the Batman in our universe.
This is getting like really intense. Like this, I was like, man, The Batman Who Laughs was already more intense than I wanted it to be, and this is just turning up to 11, and I'm like, can we turn it back down? Can I, you know, this is almost...
It's too much for you?
It's too much to see Batman, like, this version of this Batman who's just
What I would like to see is I'd like to see an alternate universe where the Waynes get murdered in an alley, and the alley takes a bat as its symbol of justice, and it becomes Bat Alley.
That's an unexplored area.
Yeah.
The alley.
But, I mean, you didn't think the Batman in this was crazy over the top and way too...
I think it was purposefully meant to be. Yeah. He's extra grim, extra gunny, and that's
the whole point. He's killing, like, just regular people who are, you know, like that part where he takes out that party of people. That was intense.
But I think he was saying, like, this solves the crime problem in Gotham.
All of these Batmen, though, are supposed to be Batman taken to the extreme, taken too far. They have... Every single one that we saw back in Dark Knight's Metal, they were Batman unchecked. Like, there was one aspect of Batman that was taken away or changed in some way, and because of that, he lost control. They're also, if you want to go to continuity-wise as defense, they're from the Dark Multiverse, and it's pretty well established that those are stories that should not happen. So that's what we're getting here, is a story of a story that should not have happened.
Yeah, especially told. The way Alfred, I mean, Jesus Christ.
The Batman Who Laughs, the Batman Who Spends Too Much Time on Twitter. Mm. Like, these are all, like, the worst case scenarios.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I
appreciate it, you calling me Batman.
Well, I don't know. I can't believe you saw me and you weren't looking at your phone.
Yeah, I am. I kind of keep one eye
I see you.
I see you. I got to get some tweets. All right, let's move on to my favorite comic of the week, Assassination Nation number one from Image Comics.
Your favorite comic?
Are you serious? I love this book. This is by Carl Starks. The art is by Erica Henderson, who used to work on Squirrel Girl. And the concept of the book, it takes place in a world where assassins are all ranked. And somebody is trying to kill one of the formerly top-ranked assassins, so he calls in all of the other assassins of the top 20. Eventually, over the course of the book, this is getting into spoilers, he decides to hire them. He says, I'm going to hire all of you to protect me, and the assassins say, actually, we've been hired to kill you, and an all-out gun battle ensues. This book was hilarious from top to bottom. I love the art. I loved how extreme and intense it was. One of the characters named Fuck Tarkington.
Oh, yeah, that was my dude.
That's a great name.
That's
great.
That was my favorite part about the book, was that dude's name.
I had an absolute blast reading this book, and I can't wait to read more.
Wow. From one gun nut book to another, and you love this one.
I did. What did you think about it, Justin? Sounds like you were not quite as enthused.
I thought it was good. There's so many characters, it's hard to like keep track of them all.
Oh, you're talking about Meat Stick?
75% of them die this issue.
But there's still a lot left in the next. And like, yeah, you sort of get a little bit of a handle on who we're going to see more of. But...
Frankie Townhouse? You talking about Frankie Townhouse?
He might be one of the ones who's dead.
The jokes in here
David
are just...
David Bowie knife?
I'm talking about Smoke.
Smoke? Oh, yeah.
Sure. There's a lot of characters in there. That's a good joke.
Yeah.
That's a good joke. In the middle of all these assassins with, like, David Bowie knife, Fuck Tarkington, whatever else, there's a guy named
Red
Dave,
Scorpion,
who's just a fan of assassins.
Yeah.
Smush Walker.
What, you're just reading stuff now. Pete, what did you think about this book?
Wistful Stan. I like the names was the most enjoyment I had out of it. I mean, it was just, it was hard to get into it because there was, the people got killed so fast. So it was like a little like, all right, okay, no guns. Everybody's got guns in the room. Okay, I'm hired to, you guys got to protect me. No, we're going to kill you. So it was like, it was hard for me. There was more, I wanted to follow a story and then add twists and turns where it was like story, turn. And every time I tried to get into it, something changed.
It seemed like classic comedy setups to me. I mean, I think that's what was going on, is you knew when they were asking everybody to leave their guns, that everybody still had guns. Like, that was definitely going to come.
And in front of the gun table, it says, not a trap. I mean, that's...
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, this to me felt like ready-made to be a pilot for some... prestige network.
It's super farcical. I really enjoyed it. I'm just throwing that out there.
He's a gun nut.
All right. I love guns, but I also love steaks and vampires. So let's move on to Boom Studios' Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 3. This is a new reinvention of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy and Pal's last issue accidentally released a gigantic demon on Sunnydale. Spike, the vampire has been revealed. Drusilla has been revealed. Anya, a.k.a. Anyanka, has been revealed. And this issue, we get a bunch of the characters finally coming together all in the same place at the same time. What did you think about the book?
Now, we talked about how it was sort of refreshing, the first two issues, to have like this reboot where we get to see all the characters and sort of know a little bit about them and see them re-meet each other. This issue, I felt like I was like, okay, I think I've seen all this before. Yeah. So oh, really? I had a total switch.
Me too.
Because yeah.
It was
stuff,
almost a little annoying.
Yeah, exactly. Because the stuff I liked was the new stuff, the bat demon that was flying around. Yeah. That stuff was interesting. But when all the characters were like, "Hi, I'm Spike," I was like, "You guys, no, man."
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, "Yeah." Giant bat flying around, guys.
Yeah, that's fun.
The talking,
you guys all talking to each other because it felt like. To use Pete's party analogy before, it felt like you were at a party where everyone was just getting to know each other. And you're like, we all met each other before.
I can see what you're saying. I do think one thing that was surprising to me about this issue is bringing Spike and Drusilla together with Buffy and everybody else so quickly. Certainly that's going somewhere, but the typical arc of a Buffy season is like, ooh, who's this villain in the background? And slowly they emerge. They fight Buffy a bunch of times. They usually win a couple of times. And then eventually Buffy perseveres. I don't know what the arc of this is going to be now based on this, which I kind of like. Like, I like not being able to predict where it's going.
Yeah,
the artist on this book is really amazing, especially with the facial stuff. It's really fantastic.
Faces.
Yeah. Moving on to a Dark Horse comic book, Bad Luck Chuck, #1. This is about a girl named Chuck who has, as you can guess, bad luck, but she rents it out to people to cause disasters. And she gets sent specifically in this comic on the path of a girl who's been brainwashed.
She's went to the farm.
Brainwashed, thank you. By a cult and tries to get her out of that. Some other stuff happens. What'd you think about this debut?
I liked it. I thought it was really fun. The art's amazing. And it's kind of, it's okay, the bad luck person on the team or the domino, if you will.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought the storytelling, the art, and the action was really fun. And it was kind of cool, the twists and turns that it took. And I'm looking forward to the next issue. I think it does a great job of setting up the world and getting you wanting more.
Yeah, this is fun. I'm curious to see how the premise is going to move forward or heighten as it goes. Because she's very unlucky. She's unlucky to the point that like fires break out all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious, like how the magic sort of works, how the luck works.
Yeah, I was okay with this.
Yeah.
I felt like we didn't get quite enough setup of the premise. Maybe this is what you were feeling as well.
Yeah.
That I don't know how the rules work necessarily with her bad luck. We don't get enough sense of that before she jumps right into this mission. We're supposed to know everything about it. And I guess that's good that they hit the ground running, but I would have wanted more establishment of the world.
Right.
All right, let's move on to another one. Little Bird, #1 from Image Comics. Pete, I know this was your favorite book this week.
Yes, this was my favorite. I love Little Bird.
Yeah, I agree. It was fun.
Man. The art's amazing. You get a super violent little kid. I mean, what's not to love? There is so much violence in all the right places. Some really great, powerful moments going on here.
The art is really
good. Now, this is by a guy named Ian Bertram, who worked on an amazing book called House of Penance.
Yes, which
stunning.
Yeah, very just singular standout art. And, so good.
And this book is about a young girl nicknamed Little Bird who lives, it seems, in some sort of post-apocalyptic world.
Yum.
She gets sent to find a guy called the Axe, I think.
Yeah, and an axe.
Yeah, and rescue him in order to save the world, presumably. So that's the mission of the book. There is a lot of action throughout it, as Pete mentioned. I like the story just fine, but to me, the standout absolutely was the art.
Yeah.
Pick it up for Ian Bertram's art, if for nothing else.
Great Canadian flag sweater.
Yeah, I really love this book. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Moving on to another DC comic, Wonder Twins, #2. We enjoyed this first issue, I think, of this book, so I figured we could check in on the second one, see what's going on.
Check in. Let's raise this book up right.
Are in on Earth.
Yes, correct.
Yes, and they have powers.
They have powers. They are twins.
One of them.
They're wonderful.
Yes. The Wonder Twins, a report.
Yeah.
Now, the Wonder Twins, as we all know, are wonderful, and they are twins. Twins can be either fraternal or identical.
I want to talk to you about your summer reading book report.
Yes.
You read comic books again, and this was, I specifically assigned you Treasure Island.
Oh, okay. I could do a report on Treasure Island.
Okay.
Treasure Island, a book. Now, as we all know, islands are bodies of water.
What are we doing?
Mark Russell writes this book, and he's does such a great job of putting just like biting social commentary, satire into comic books, and especially these like goofier titles. You wrote the Flintstones. I think we talked about that before.
Yep.
And this is fun, and it also is a real like a legit takedown of for-profit prisons, and I think that's awesome.
I agree with you. I think it's awesome. I thought the last issue of this was a little bit more creative, a little bit more fun. For me, this was getting a little old, and I was like, all right.
Because you're into for-profit prisons.
No, I am not.
Yeah, okay. Pete actually invests in a couple of them.
Are you you have a not-for-profit prison.
Right. A 501c3 prison.
If I had a prison, neither one of you would see the light of day.
Jesus Christ, that's not how that works.
Well, guess what?
There are laws, bro.
Yeah.
I thought, to your point, Justin, this issue was more satirical, which I enjoyed a lot. Mark Russell wrote the Flintstones book, which we love so much. And this felt like that was starting to edge a little closer to it, which I enjoyed. Yeah. The first one was goofy in a fun way, but this one got a little deeper, and I hope we see more of that going forward.
Yes.
All right, last thing to talk about from Marvel Comics, Uncanny X-Men Winter's End number one. Now, this is a one-shot, but it's also pretty much a conclusion of Cena Grace's run on Iceman,
yes,
that has been much beloved but sales challenged over several series at this point. So you do get this one shot to wrap everything up. What'd you guys think? Was this a good end to this run?
It was an interesting. Like, I feel like to take the character, to take Iceman, and really through bringing back the what's old Iceman, Old Man Ice? Is that his name?
Yeah, Mr. Ice.
Mr. Ice, his future self, and have it be sort of the lens that you look at the character one last time was a wild choice, like to go that deep into continuity. I feel like when you're bringing a book to an end, a lot of it is just like self-reflection. But this like really moved the character forward a little bit and had some hits into the continuity of Iceman across the board.
One thing that I liked about the book is it dealt head-on with the idea that when, this is crazy deep X-Men continuity, but when the young X-Men went back in time, their memories joined together with their older versions.
Yes.
And everybody else was like, wow, my memories, that's so interesting that happened to me. But to Iceman, he was directly confronted with the idea that his younger self forced his older self to come out of the closet.
And Jean Grey sort of prompted
made it happen.
Outed him, yeah.
So that came to a head, and that was my favorite part of the issue, hands down. Like, I thought that conversation was needed and was executed well.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the idea that I think present-day Iceman was struggling with is that his younger self was more brave than him for, like, owning his sexuality at a time when the older version was, like, still repressing it. And then I think it was a nice sort of echo of that he is trying to his older version of himself trying to come to grips with who he is. It was a nice just package altogether, I thought.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Okay. If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down. We will chat with you about comics. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
Beware the Batman who's on Twitter too much.